Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Woo woo! Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you're having a great week. How are you feeling this morning, guys?
Good, man. It's good. It cooled off a little bit out this way, so I don't get the stark heat coming through the windows. It's kind of mild, little cloudy, a little overcast, gray sky.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's what I said. So it's you know, my windows are open, so I get a little bit of the breeze. It's cool. It's good.
It is good.
I'm in a very, very good place. I'm in a very, very good place, my friends. Today is Venus Williams' 40th birthday.
Happy birthday, right. Venus.
Happy birthday, Venus.
Did you guys, before we jumped on our call, did you guys get a chance to see the Korean baseball with all the stuffed animals in the seats? I think we need to do that here. When we get back to baseball or basketball in Orlando or wherever it is, whatever the next group event is, team event, we need to fill the stands with stuffed animals like Korean baseball. I love how that looks.
They just stiff, though. They need to move around. They got to move, man. They just stand.
That would be very disturbing
A fully animated Toronic SpongeBob moving around back there. Just something other than empty seats looked pretty good.
They should have a couple waiters and waitresses going up and down the aisles. Peanuts, popcorns, coolacoos.
Oh, coolacoo, man. That's old school, Key. They don't think they have those at Dodger Stadium anymore, do they?
When Magic first joined the Dodgers organization, he said they were bringing them back, but I don't recall if I ever seen one. I don't know. So I bet you they are. They just probably, you know, so many concessions around. You got to find them. Like LZ, you know, LZ had to find the right hot dog. He was over there messing with steam.
You didn't tell me there was a difference.
You got to go grilled, LZ. We've been over this. And a coolacoo is an ice cream sandwich with cookies instead of the traditional little cake thing.
You know what's so crazy?
I highly recommend those.
I've been to Dodger Stadium so many times before actually moving here. But because I'm not a hot dog person, I never, ever had a hot dog at Dodger Stadium prior to actually living here. And that's because Keyshawn said, you got to have one. So then I went out of my way after all these years to get a freaking hot dog. And and then I find out after consuming like three or four of them that I was eating the wrong ones. You know how disturbing that is?
Well, I don't know why they start steaming them. I don't know where. Well,
it was Frank McCourt. When Frank McCourt bought the team, it was cheaper or easier or there was some way to save a dollar by steaming them instead of grilling them. And the Dodger fans revolted and said, oh, hell no, we're not doing steam dogs. I need them on the grill. So the people's voices were heard when it came to hot dogs. At least the players' voices at Oklahoma State were heard a little bit. Mike Gundy did that weird thing with his player a couple of days ago where the player actually ended up apologizing for what was going on. Mike Gundy offered a half-hearted apology 2 days ago. Yesterday, he did apologize. He attempted to make it right to the members of his own team.
Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. I want to apologize to all members of our team, former players, and their families for the pain and discomfort that has been caused over the last 2 days.
Well,
Black Lives Matter.
I do believe he has said the word black before. I do believe he has said the word lives before. I do believe he's actually said the word matter before. But I never dog dare you to find me any kind of coverage or footage or imagery or voice of him saying Black Lives Matter before that apology. Please.
Just got a little twang. Here's what I would say.
It's not the twang, Key. It was also the hesitation between each word. He was like, Black Lives Matter.
It's the first time he'd seen the script.
He's already fumbled a couple of times, so he wants to make sure that he doesn't fumble again. What I would say there is, okay, you know, I'm always trying to give somebody the benefit of the doubt and do all of those sort of things. But in this situation where you tell me once you learned how they felt about Black Lives Matter, okay, remove Black Lives Matter, how they feel about people in the world. In general, Okay, and you can't tell me if that's your go-to news outlet, as you proclaimed, then I'm sure you've seen other despairing things about African Americans or some sort of inclination that they could potentially be talking about African Americans if they're not directly saying these things, if that's your news outlet. I mean, if that's your go-to, it shouldn't be about Black Lives Matter. It should be about the disrespect of all and how they view things and treat people.
It's not even just that, Key. How do you feel? Because, sir,
no, and the reason I say
we have so many instances before you even was spotted with the T-shirt. We have so many instances now of former players and players now coming out and talking about how racist you were, or how they were on campus. Mm-hmm. That I'm beginning to think you can't be saved.
Yeah,
so,
Key,
I've moved past the OAN because now you're telling me you're threatening people like basically saying we're gonna return you to the hood if you don't play well.
Well, I told you yesterday, y'all, yesterday about him. Just, I hate to be that dude, but, you know, I always say, Travis, oh, I could tell. All I got to do is look at him. I could just tell. I could tell based on behavior from the past and how you present yourself. Because first time impressions goes a long ways.
I get that, and I hear you. I'm willing to say I can't tell by looking, but I can tell by what you do, and I can tell by what you say, and then I can tell by what you say after you get caught. And that dude falls right into the middle of the bullseye because he went out of his way to talk about OAN as this bastion of, you know what? Finally, somebody's just telling it like it is. Finally, somebody's just going out of their way to tell us what's going on out in the world and not trying to spin it and tell us what to think, when never mind the fact that that's exactly what they're trying to do. And then you go out of your way to this obscure news, air quote, network to get a T-shirt, to walk around in the T-shirt, to very clearly signal to like-minded individuals, hey, you and I, we get it. We get it. You know what this means, right? Yep. Okay. Yep. We got it. And then when you get called out on it, your initial response is, oh, well, you know, we need to open a dialogue and our players, you know, need to be able to speak their mind and we're going to do this. But never a, hey, these guys are crackpots and I had no idea and this is terrible and I support my players and Black Lives Matter. No. That didn't come up until yesterday when the heat didn't go away, when the heat actually got turned up a little bit, when people like us continued to talk about this, when people like us continued to say, well, that apology sucked. The words, I'm sorry and it'll never happen again, and I disavow what they stand for, didn't come out of his mouth the first time. We kept the heat up, and it was only until later in the day that the apology that you just heard a few minutes ago was issued, and it felt like he was reading from a script for the very first time, where this, I am not like this. I support the Black Lives Matter movement. When I discovered what this was about, I was appalled, and I apologized to my players. There was no feeling in it. There was no resonance in it. So that he is trying to do this now, it feels entirely too late. I'm not going to tell any of the players at Oklahoma State how to feel. That's up to them. That's up to them how to feel the way that they want to feel. What I'm saying is that I saw that apology, and I'm like, now, way too little, way too late, because you knew exactly what that stuff was. You just didn't think anybody else was going to call you on it. And now that they have, you're caught. That's what it felt like to me.
And it is exactly that, Travis. It is exactly that. That's the reason why he's got to go. Not simply because of this T-shirt, but the insult that you think you can roll out that apology secondhand that doesn't seem sincere at all on the heels of you threatening black players to send back to the hood if they don't play well, and other similar remarks like that. Like, you've got to go. Think about the fact that he made light of the coronavirus pandemic. Think about that. How irresponsible it is to have a tenured university staff member. He's supposed to be where kids go for help. That's what it means. That's your responsibility.
Well, he's been goofy for a while as a coach there. This is nothing. The pandemic was just one of the goofy things that he's done throughout his coaching tenure. And even as far back as it being a player, he has some questionable behavioral things going on as a player. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you get comfortable and you figure you're in Stillwater, Oklahoma. You kind of ran the whole little town, you know, as a player, as a coach, people, you know, rallied around you. And now you're at a situation where you stuck your foot in your mouth and you didn't realize that you was going to get hit so hard by one of your players because you never thought that they would even be paying attention at the level that they're paying attention at. And now, like Travis said, the heat is on you. You want to issue an apology a second time. I wouldn't be surprised if he issued apologies a third time because, as I said yesterday, once the players and people start to really come after you and come at you and start to say your job needs to be taken away from you, you don't deserve the luxury of coaching up student athletes, somebody, people and players that you're supposed to be guiding in the right direction instead of being divisive and trying to divide the situation, you're supposed to be uplifting. Until that happens, he definitely deserves for his job to be taken away. Now, whether or not Oklahoma State president and athletic department thinks the same as we do, I don't think he deserves to have a job and coach football anymore. I think it's one of those situations where you got found out, you need to be gone. You should, because if you look at everybody, you need to look at everybody in this day and age today that is put on the red carpet, they getting snatched off immediately, one by one by one. And he shouldn't be an exception to the rule at all, period.
There's a way to issue an apology, and it seemed like Drew Brees had it right when he finally got to the spot. It felt sincere. It felt like it was coming from a decent place, and then there was Mike Gundy's apology. We'll talk more about that as well. Kyrie Irving is not done. Not only does he think players should not go back to the bubble in Orlando, but he's got a whole other plan as well. We'll tell you what it is next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Gentlemen, you remember that yes. picture I sent you? Of the General
Lee
getting
the rainbow flag
touch-up.
On the General Lee, yes.
Instead of the Confederate flag, the rainbow flag. A little touch-up, if you will, to the show. What I posted on my Instagram, and we got a lot of interesting responses directed at you, Travis. So I wanted to just share a couple.
Okay.
One follower said, now that's the General Lee Travis Rogers should have drafted with his number one pick.
Okay.
Another one says... this is pretty good. Travis, if you had picked that one, you would have won. here's one that's my favorite. Get this car for Travis.
Oh yeah, well, I'm all for that. I'll drive around town for that.
This is one follower. He just says Travis in all capital letters. Travis.
Now you think I'm lying to you right now. You just said you would have drove that?
Yeah.
You know, I just saw the General Lee car. I just
like
saw paint, one. I swear
it
to
up
you.
Like the General Lee with the stars and bars, the whole thing?
The whole thing, the stars and bars, the entire thing, the horn and everything. I swear to you. It just went right down the street the other day, and I just was like, I couldn't get my phone out fast enough, and it turned right. the corner, and I was hoping it came back, but they were getting ready to go. I guess they were getting ready to go through Malibu Canyon. It was a couple muscle cars that was in front of this one, and then when I finally saw it pass by me, I was like, what the hell is this? But it I don't know what it was. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if they were shooting something. But it sure did. It sure passed right by. Most definitely
Look,
did.
I'm not going to do the Mike Gundy thing and try to explain what's going on. I shouldn't have drafted the General Lee. I would gladly accept the Rainbow General Lee in my garage. And I'll leave it at that. I'm on a one snake draft winning streak, and I don't want to jeopardize my opportunity to go back-to-back because we got another one coming up here
you might
in
be
about
off
25 minutes. Good. I hope so. I hope that I've worked my way off. My favorite one, LZ, is just the all caps Travis. That's perfect.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's so perfect.
That is so well perfect.
And it also just gives you an indication, you know, just how much our listeners are listening. They're following, and they got their eye on you, Travis. They see you. They're watching.
Your heads up. I had a feeling that's what was going on. So now that I have tangible proof, I can sleep a little better. The NBA laid out their new rules for going to Orlando, and it's comprehensive, shall we say. It's a 100-page document about what's going on. But they're going back to work, you know, barring something extraordinary happening between now and when teams report to Orlando. There's going to be basketball in Orlando in the bubble. Kyrie Irving still does not want to go. He still thinks that there is this is not the time to go because there is momentum for the cause, and he thinks that going to play basketball will take some eyeballs and attention and momentum away from that cause. He also, according to Flip Bondi, says that Kyrie Irving has proposed to his teammates that they should start their own league, and not just because of the bubble situation, but rather everything else that's been going on as well. And this is where I think is part of the problem with Kyrie's movement, generally speaking, lies, is that Kyrie is always trying to go and do a little too much, always trying to kind of push it to a point where everybody goes, oh, there he goes again. Kyrie's just being crazy. The idea of a new league takes away from the idea of, hey, look, we've got the world's eyeballs on us right now. We have the world's attention for an issue that we've been screaming about for decades, centuries even. Let's not blow this. That's a good argument. Let's go start our own league. People are going to, okay, I'm done with this guy. Does he not get that?
This is I don't know if he does or if he doesn't. You know, I've always been one to say, you know, some people just like to hear himself talk, and he may fall into that category. You know, because he's like heckling Ja. Heckling
Jekyll Key.
He just goes back and forth. He starts off one way, and he goes to another. I mean, you don't know where he's going to end up at the end of the day. You know, it's just like, I can only imagine being his teammate, you know, how I would feel about him. I'm only a fan. And it's like, well, you started off by saying that they shouldn't play, you guys shouldn't play because the message will get lost, and opposed to really paying attention and dissecting and saying, hey, I can use this platform. We can use a platform and have as many months of airtime and free time to really push the initiatives that's out there, and then you come back a day or so later, and now you want to start your own league. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, I don't know, man. Some people just like to hear themselves talk.
Well, Keith, like you said, you said you've never had a teammate like that. Let me ask you this, because I certainly had teammates like this. Maybe not quite to the degree of.
I didn't say I never had a teammate like that. I said that it would be interesting to see if I was his teammate, how I would feel about it. Like, basically, at the end of the day, I've never been around a guy that's quite Kyrie, but I've been around some dudes that got some little different.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, that we've all had teammates where when they start talking, you look at each other like, here he goes again. And it's that eye roll and that, this guy right here that, you know, he just never stops. That once in a while, he'll stumble into a pretty good idea, but then he just blows it up because he keeps going and talks about more than Kyrie's that guy that just never knows when he's on the right thing. And to keep pushing the right thing, he moves on to the, because I mean, you guys tell me, the NBA seems like the one sports league that's working really, really well right now. The NBA has a pretty effective partnership between labor and management. The NBA is a thriving television product. The NBA is a thriving product in its arenas pre-pandemic, pre-coronavirus, where people were coming in enthusiastic fans. Some of the biggest stars in all of our sports world here in the United States are NBA players. The NBA players are allowed to voice their concerns when it comes to social issues and other things that may be on their minds. Why do you need another? I could see where some football players might feel like they need a new league. I could certainly see where baseball players are like, these guys are full of you know what, I'm out of here. Let's go form our own thing. Those things make some sense to me. The NBA runs really well. What does he want?
But Travis, sit around and talk about starting new leagues and things like that, you first of all, you're not going to go up against the NBA and get NBA players to decide, oh, I'm going to go play in the new league because I don't want to play in the NBA no more. The NBA is here to stay just like the NFL. It's billions and billions and billions of dollars aligned in everybody's pockets. No, and there is not a fool out there that's going to take a chance and say, oh, I'm not playing in the NBA, man, because I need to go play in this league because we brothers and we make up the league. Well, yeah, we do. Everybody knows what time it is, but LeBron James is not going to the new league. Kevin Durant is not going to the new league unless all of a sudden Jeff Bezos decides that he's getting ready to take some of that $1 trillion and invest, you know, a majority of it into a league and decide to pay the same type of salaries. Nobody doing that. They're not going to do that. So that's just a waste of conversation.
But you're exactly right. But the point is, it's a wasted conversation that hijacks a good conversation. The idea, of course you're right. There's not going to be an alternative to the NBA. The NBA is established. The cement is hard on the NBA. It is the league in the world when it comes to playing basketball. If you want to play in the best league in the world with the most money and the most this, that, and the next thing, it's the NBA. That's never going to change. But just the mere suggestion of starting it takes away from the conversation of the league coming back, of the Black Lives Matter movement, of all of the other things that maybe people do have a pretty good case to. Hey, let's hold on a second here. Before we go back to work, let's finish the work over here, or at least continue to do the work over here. It's not whether or not a new league is viable. It's why did he bring it up now? Because it hijacked his own conversation.
Man,
well, it's Kyrie, man. And Kyrie doesn't necessarily think on that level. He's smart, but I think he thinks he's smarter than what he may truly be. He's well-read, but I think he thinks he's read more than where he actually is. I get the idea of the new league. I do. You check a whole lot of boxes, Travis, but the one box that you didn't check and you can't check is ownership. That's where the power is. That's where the true power is. Owning things. You're right. The NBA players have everything except ownership in the league. They don't have that. So
even with all that being said, though, LZ,
I can certainly see there being a healthy conversation just about the idea of the power of ownership.
It's great,
and that being the next level. But this is not the time to explore these philosophical conversations. This isn't the time for
it. It's great to have a conversation about it, but let's be real here. Okay, it takes money to do it, a lot of money, and it takes a lot of backing, and it takes a lot of foundation and organization and organizing and putting it together. It ain't just I got five players and we getting ready to go start a league. It doesn't work like that. We've seen many people try to start leagues with deep pockets, and guess what? At the end of the day, those leagues disappear. So it's
absolutely, of course not. Of course it takes more money and things of that nature. I'm not denying that at all. I'm just simply saying it's a good part of the conversation that players should be having, just not right now.
The conversation should be planning. The conversation should be like LeBron James and Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal in Grant Hill getting teams that's already in the NBA and buying into those or buying those. But trying to start a whole new league so you can have some ownership, what you going to have ownership of a team with no value and no equity and not worth anything just to be able to say I'm an owner?
The idea of starting a new league is, and not talking about basketball, there's a piece on ESPN.com yesterday that I'd encourage everybody to read about the demise of the XFL and how it came apart. And this is backed by a billionaire who wanted to make this thing go.
That's all I'm saying, Travis.
And it still didn't go.
That's
it
all I'm saying.
It still didn't go.
Unless Jeff Bezos decide that he getting ready to give you a couple of them trillions of dollars he got, it ain't going to be no league.
The XFL is not the same thing as trying to start your own league. The XFL tried to start a football league without the football players you knew. This conversation that Kyrie proposed is the players you all know in a different league. Those are two different things.
I understand that, USFL-like, but who's going to pay that? Who's going to pay $40 million, $250 plus million dollars of guaranteed money to Curry, another $300 million. Who's going to pay that?
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter because this isn't where we should be talking about anyway. This is a ridiculous
Well, that's
thing
Kyrie,
that
man.
Kyrie hijacked his own conversation, which is only certain guys like Kyrie are able to do that. Baseball players got something right that they've never gotten right before. I'll tell you what it is next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
So that's always a fun conversation. We were having a little bit off the air there. Hey, which one was Kyrie? Was he the flat earth guy or he the we didn't go to the moon guy? And the answer is, oh, yeah, he was both. That's how you know that you got a guy that's going to talk a little bit about some stuff.
No conspiracy left unturned.
No doubt about it. All right. Sadly, we've talked about baseball labor problems before. That we've had strikes going all the way back to 1981. We've seen the cancellation of a World Series back in the 90s. And baseball and its owners going around and around and around over money is not new. But this is new. This is new. The players have found a strategy that seems to be working for them in the theater of public relations, in the battle to win hearts and minds. The latest strategy from the players is actually working. They've adopted this when and where philosophy. Mike Trout got on board yesterday. Mike Trout didn't say anything about anything ever, okay? Mike Trout doesn't talk. We've seen it from Bryce Harper, Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole. Some of the biggest names in the sport have just said, when and where? And it's working because now it is very clearly the owners that are holding this thing up. It's very clearly that the owners are the ones trying to manipulate the schedule, trying to manipulate the calendar, trying to manipulate the proration of money that they're going to pay these guys so that when they get to a point where they have to unilaterally impose a schedule, they can say, oh, well, they wouldn't negotiate. The players are saying, let's go, let's play right now, when and where. They finally, for the first time ever, I think, are on the right side of the public relations issue with the billionaires they're fighting against, and that's never happened before.
It's so funny that we start off with that at the top conversation. Yesterday, I was out picking up lunch, and a lady was, you know, she's enjoying sports and recognized me and said to me, are we going to have football back, blah, blah, blah. So I still got in the conversation. She said, well, what about baseball? I'm like, I don't know. They're working on it. She goes, I don't understand why the owners have got to try and buy more yachts.
There you go.
So
there
I was like, well, you know, so I got into a whole conversation about the TV revenue sharing and the amount of games and the whole deal. But she was on point with it, much like you're saying. At the end of the day, now I think that the players are starting to tie, are starting to turn their way a little bit because simply said, when and where. We ready to go. You said we're going to do this in March. This is the numbers. This is where it's at. Let's go. What's the problem now? And that's what the players are saying. What's the problem?
It's simple and it's clean. We're willing to go.
I do wonder if the players' union got with some PR person because before they couldn't get their message together for nothing. They couldn't get on the same page. They couldn't stop guys from tweeting out of bounds during the negotiation process, resisting plans publicly. Now they finally have gotten a rally around each other, and I wonder if they got with an outside source that told them, this is what you need to do to have a unified message. Because you're right, Travis, they're unified now. And Mike Trout doesn't say anything to anyone about much of anything. So for him to do this is almost I like I have a dream speech in Washington, D.C. That's what that was. You know, I bet he's walking around right now thinking I'm a great orator because he tweeted that.
Well, it's effective. Think about it like this. Like you just said, Key, the woman came to you and said, why do the owners need to buy more yachts? Every other labor negotiation, and this is not just exclusive to baseball. This goes to the NFL. This goes to the NBA when they've had their problems. And every other sport that's ever had a disagreement between labor and management, it's always, oh, you need more millions of dollars to go play a game that I would play for free? Oh, you make $20 million and you want more than that to go play the game that I played when I was 12 years old out in the park? That was always the rejoinder about this. The players are greedy. The players are the ones that want more. The players are the ones that don't understand the economics of a regular working family, that they don't understand what it's like that I save my money all year long to take my family to one game a year, and it puts my budget on tilt because we do it once a year and you're arguing over your millions of dollars. They found the argument that it puts it on the owners, and it'll be fascinating. And here's the thing. They found the message that works. They found the message that is making fans take their side. The question is, do the owners care at all? Because maybe they're thinking, I don't care. Yeah, I do want another yacht. and I'm not going to start it because I can buy that yacht if I burn two more weeks off the calendar. I do get that yacht, so I'm going to do it, and I don't care what you think about me, lady. That's the rub, because I think that might be the position that the other side takes.
They sitting in prolonging the start of the season, so they slick. They sit there prolonging the start of the season so they don't have to pay the buddy. They just go negotiate it all the way to the point where – they get the 50 games or so in, and they don't have to pay the money. Association ought to say is, you know what? If we don't start by this date, we're just going to be done for the whole season.
I think it's a good strategy. It's one that I certainly apply. You know, I don't pay the rent until the day before. Sometimes it's the day of. I don't pay it ahead of time. So if you're the owners, I can see you saying, wait, there's a plan where I can still get this chunk of change but don't have to have this level of expenditures. And all I have to do is, like, ruffle some feathers and maybe, you know, tick a couple of people off. But at the end of the day, they're going to come back anyway. All right, yeah, let's do that plan. I mean, it's despicable. It exposes you for being greedy. But I certainly don't think there's anyone that's shocked that the owners are trying to be greedy.
No, it's not a matter of being shocked, Ilse. I agree with you on that. But it is a matter of public pressure. Now, maybe they're immune to it. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't care. No, maybe they may not.
Because they're faceless. Remember, no one knows who owns the Pirates right now. I mean, no one knows these owners. So what do they care about public pressure? They can still go to Whole Foods and no one will even know who the hell they were. It's the players who are public facing.
The public pressure, not of having somebody approach them in Whole Foods and saying, you know, you're a real son of a you know what. It's not that. It's the idea of, you know what, this guy that owns the Pirates, this guy really, we're going to get 25 games this year because he couldn't get off his ass and come to an agreement to pay these guys what he previously agreed them to. I'm done with this guy. And again, I don't think it's going to be a million people that decide never to go to a baseball game. But even if it's a percentage of people that typically would go that decide not to go, that can affect their bottom line. That may be the pressure that gets them to, instead of saying, okay, we're going to do our 48 or 50, maybe we get 65 or 70. I'm hopeful. I'm not terribly optimistic because I do think you're right. I think that they probably don't care. But if everyone is saying this sucks and it's your fault, human beings are human beings. Nobody likes to be the guy that everybody blames collectively.
Well, no, Gundy doesn't seem to care. He doesn't mind being that guy.
No, they don't. They don't. But the bottom line is they really don't care. All they want to do is see what the bottom line is going to be. And if the bottom line is in the positive and we can make more money by shortening the season, then I'm all for it. That's what they're saying.
All right. It's time to go back to back, guys. Another snake draft, and I got a chance for two in a row. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
That's right, guys. You know what time it is, guys. It's the time you've all been waiting on, another morning show snake draft. And, of course, we've seen a change in America and a change with the show of the people. That's finally forgiven Travis, and he finally reaches that third victory. But LZ still leads with six and Key close behind with five. Now, I don't know if you guys saw that study that revealed 36 active alien civilizations in our galaxy, maybe trying to contact Earth. So that got me to thinking.
Oh, man.
You got, yeah, that's 36 of them. So it got me thinking, hey, what about our favorite aliens that we've seen on TV and movies over the years? So our favorite aliens, LZ, you are up first. Travis will be second, and Key will be third. So, LZ, give me one of your favorite aliens.
It's a snake draft.
Oh, man. I'm so ill-prepared.
Keyshawn?
Favorite alien. Are these favorite aliens just in culture, just in general?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that we've seen on TV and movies throughout the years.
Why are you prolonging so long, man?
Fiction aliens. Yeah.
It's a snake draft.
Sci-fi.
I guess.
I think there's an obvious number one pick, but you go ahead.
Radio.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna pick Mork from Mork and Mindy.
Okay.
I love it. Mork from Mork.
Nanu Nanu. I like it. All right. So that leads us to you, Travis. You've turned over a new leaf. You actually have an opportunity to win these things now. So give me your favorite alien.
I'm going to go with, because one of a movie that I absolutely loved, it was one of those aliens that you thought was going to run the table and mop up the floor with everybody until the very end. I'm going to go with Predator.
Ooh, all right. I like that. Predator. All right, Predator. And it's got the dreadlocks and everything, the infrared system. And
he's got two mouths. He's got the mouth that opens to reveal another mouth.
Oh, wow. All right. There you go. Yeah.
It's a
right.
snake draft.
Keyshawn, that leads us to two because you heard it. It's a snake draft. So you'll have two picks here, Keyshawn. Give us your I think I know who yours is going to be, but go ahead. Why don't you tell the people?
You know, you don't know what mine is going to be. But anyway,
I know what it is. He has two letters.
I think, well, stupid idiot. I think when you go back and you think about family, fun, generations, and they have not screwed it up by trying to make a reboot, and a sequel mm-hmm. to it, and it's been around for a long time, and the top director, producer of making film is still making amazing stuff. This character has two...
Go ahead and phone home,
it's
baby. Go ahead
e
and phone home.
And a T, and he looks that's a lot right. like Raj. It's E.T.
I knew it. I knew that was going to be your pick. All right, so you double up. You got another pick here because you know what it is.
It's a snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
We should save that if you can, Jorge, if you can save that. Go ahead.
Oh, we over definitely time. Need to save that.
Well, you took the Predator, right? How about
I did.
How about the I guess if you took the Predator, I shouldn't take any of the sequels, huh? I should just leave that alone.
Well, you can't take Predator again. He's off the board.
LZ, tried the sequel thing in the last draft, and there were sequels, and it didn't do him too well. He came in last place, so I would stay away from the sequels on things.
Right, I thought it was just because my list sucks.
Well, I mean, tomato, tomato.
I guess you wouldn't consider that, right? I'm trying to think, man. I'm getting lost now, too. Oh, no, wait, hold on. Let me think. An alien.
Yeah. Why you said E.T. Why you know, I said yesterday.
You said what? How
that's
about
all right,
stop here.
So the emails go out at 5:00. Y'all got plenty of time to look at them now.
How about the aliens are back? That one.
What?
Huh?
The sequel of the aliens. The sequel. Oh, the 1986
what are you
sequel.
Doing? Are you,
all right, next.
I know. I ran out. I couldn't think of them aliens, man.
You did get the emails yesterday, right? It was like all kind of anyone from Star Wars.
This is not going well. I like my chances all of a sudden.
I don't watch Star Wars, so no, I don't.
All right. Well, you got an email from anyway. Sorry, Travis, you're up. Travis, you're up.
Who did Key take?
I don't. What the hell is your pick?
Man, it was the aliens. Man, it was the movie. It was the movie. It was the sequel. The second Aliens, 1986.
I think he's coming
back.
Alien with like Sigourney Weaver key?
Yes.
Okay. That had nothing to do with the Predator.
All right. So
but that's fine.
He took Alien from Aliens, which is a good pick. All right. So it's back to me.
Jesus. Yeah, after 10 minutes
it's
your
back
turn.
To you.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go with
this is rough.
Not for me, it's not. I have a choice here. I'm gonna go with Chewbacca from Star Wars.
Ooh, so Wookiees, just Chewbacca. You go with Chewie. Yeah, I like it.
I'm going with Chewbacca from Star Wars. Been in a million movies, one of the great movie mm-hmm. franchises of all time. Kind of cool, gets a little violent at times, got Han's uh-huh. back. I'm going to take Chewie.
Good choice there. All right, Melzy, that leaves us to you with two picks because you know what time it is.
It's a snake draft.
Well, the next alien I'm going to pick is beloved. He is iconic. You forget he's an alien because he looks like Ussus's. But Clark okay. Kent, Kal-El Superman, is an alien.
Yes, he is.
Damn.
Sure is. That's a strong pick right there. Man of Steel.
Man of Steel.
Sounds like a strip club.
And sticking with the theme, if you will, of trying to find a heroic figure to beloved. This one's an anti-hero. But for those of us who grew up watching comic books, we loved them. And the movie with Tom Hardy was outstanding. So uh-huh. I'm going to go with Venom.
Okay. Venom. All right. Venom is the pick. A comic book with another comic book theme there. I like that one. Travis, back to you for your third pick. Guys, we're looking for our favorite sci-fi alien.
I'm going to go to TV for this one. I've taken two movie aliens so far. I'm going to go to TV, mm-hmm. kind of a lovable alien, unless you owned a cat. I'm going to take Alf.
I've got Chris Alf is gonna,
as, as my my third pick. Alien Life Form.
Is going to love Alf. That pick. Yeah, yeah.
Alf. So give me Alf with number three.
All right, Keyshawn, that brings us to you for our third and final pick, or your third and fourth picks here.
Get it right. Get it right. You put this list together.
It's a snake draft.
Since LZ took a Superman hero and all that and called it an alien, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go Dr. Spock.
He literally is an alien.
Mr. Spock. Dr. Spock, Mr. Spock,
a Vulcan.
Star Trek-y.
I like it. Spock's a good pick.
He was straight. He was cool, calm, collective.
Very.
He was up to no good every now and then, but, you know. And for my final pick?
Yes. There's four of them.
My final pick. Dang, you took Elf. I was thinking about that. How about the Avatar? How do you say it?
The Navi.
Navi.
Yes.
Navi. Avatar.
Okay. Navi. Okay, fine. There you go. And finally, Travis, your third pick, your fourth and final pick here. What do you got?
I'm going to take like a whole species, not one. So far, I've taken individuals, Predator, Chewie, and Alf. This is going to be more of a species across the board. I'm going to go light key. I'm going to go into the Star Trek universe. I'm going to take Klingons.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice pick there. Those are notorious, too, boy. Them some rough boys. They came together at one point, right? Did they get one of the movies?
I think so. I'm not a huge Star Trek guy, but I did know the Klingons, so that's why I'm taking them. Plus, they had that forehead thing going on. I always like that.
All right.
So give me the Klingons with number four.
All right, and LZ, fine, to wrap this up, the snake draft. We're looking for your favorite sci-fi aliens. What do you got?
It's a snake draft.
I got a sneaky pick that I kept in my hip pocket because there was some other stuff I was trying to do. Now that I've accomplished the other stuff, now I'm going to go ahead and keep it 100. Mm-hmm. The number one alien for moi that I'm sneaking in is Yoda.
Oh, nice. I thought he'd go a lot earlier. Yeah.
Good one.
Yoda. They never explain what species he is, right? You just Yoda?
He's green.
He's a Yoda.
He's definitely not human. All right. So to wrap this up, our favorite sci-fi aliens are Mork from Mork and Mindy for LZ, Superman, Clark Kent, whichever we want to call him, Venom, the comic books, and Yoda from Star Wars. You can pick anyone from Star Wars. I guess they'd all be aliens, right? Because there are none more from Earth.
Not Han and Luke Skywalker, but yes.
They're not from Earth.
Well, they're not from Earth. Yeah, I guess so.
And then Travis's picks are the Predator, original with the dreads, and the two mouths, Chewbacca, Alf, and the Klingons. And then Keyshawn takes E.T., we think alien from the Alien movie, although we're not sure. Dr. Spock and Avatar creatures. And what are they called again, the Avatar creatures?
Navi.
Navi, okay. And this is all based on the fact that there are 36 different alien civilizations that are trying to contact us. So we'll see. Hopefully they'll contact us.
We need to leave them alone.
I need to come and get you, Raj, and take you back.
I think I have a pretty good chance of going back-to-back. I like my picks.
I think so, and of course, you can make this happen by going to ESPN Los Angeles Twitter page and casting your vote as soon as it goes up there.
Apologizing is a good thing. When you get something wrong, you should try to make it right. And then there's what Mike Gundy did. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.